Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best and the Lord Jesus answered for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your questions over your air or the comments, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that are listening, if you don't mind, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this blessed day in Christ Jesus and this opportunity you've given us to go into the Word of God. We thank you today, Lord God, that we can petition you by faith and we can receive answers to our prayers. And our petition today is that your Spirit will be with us as we take this journey into the Word once again. And even as we go into this lesson, Lord, I pray that everyone that desires to know truth, that you will witness to them of this truth through this lesson that's being given. So, dear Lord, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to open up to you guys once again. We are on part four. Renouncing Mormonism, Belief, and Teaching on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to open it up with you from the Articles of Faith and Practice, number 3. And this is of the foundation that the church is to stand on. Amen. And it reads, "We believe in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, which searches the deep things of God, brings to our minds things which are past, reveal things to come, and is the medium by which we receive the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, we've been looking at in this section of the series on how the Mormons, what their belief and teaching is concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Articles of Faith and Practice, it says, once again, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Not we believe in one of the Holy Ghosts or we believe in the Holy Ghost with an S or one of the spirits of God. It doesn't say that. We believe that there's one Spirit of God, okay? And once again, for those of you who just, you know, I don't know, just happen to listen to this broadcast and you hear this title and you say, this guy's picking on the Mormons. No, it's not about picking on the Mormons. Their doctrine is in darkness. But the whole thing of this is not to just expose the darkness of the doctrine of Mormons, but also to renounce something that's been connected to the Church of Christ, Eliza Message, who has been commissioned to tell you guys about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, which is the work of restitution and restoration. And the reason why renouncing is called for, because when you once again go look up about the Church of Christ, the Life Message, a couple of things will stand out at you. Number one, you're going to see a man named Joseph Smith. And I'm pretty sure not all of you, but many of you have heard of Joseph Smith, especially if you are into dealing with the Word of God and all of that. You have heard of Joseph Smith, and you would have to admit what you heard about him, there was nothing good, okay? And plus, number two, you're going to see that when you look up the Church of Christ with Eliza Message, you will see that, hey, they are a branch of the Latter-day Saints, which is Mormons. And that is, quote, 100% false, okay? Now, in renouncing Mormonism, some of you may understand and know that Joseph Smith did start Mormonism. But however, Joseph Smith is connected to this work of restitution and restoration that we have been bringing to you guys. And because of his connection to that, we got to renounce the evil that he brought forth, which is Mormonism, okay? Once again, I want to say this, and some of you may not receive this as well, and this is not by lifting up Joseph Smith. But Joseph Smith at one time was being used by God, okay? Start this work of restitution and restoration. But, and I do say but, he fell into error. And one of the great errors he did was he started Mormonism. Mormonism is, and I repeat, is not of God. I say it again. Mormonism is not of God. Okay? Hallelujah. And it is about defending the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that is ungodly attaching itself to it, we must renounce. Amen. So, the Articles of Faith and Practice said, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Now, in this section of the series, I have been showing with you guys and talking with you and giving you even what the testimony of others concerning what Mormonism believe and teach about the Holy Ghost. You're getting or have gotten a bird's eye view. One of the things you will understand when you really study what Mormons believe about the Holy Ghost is that, once again, it is a bunch of capital letters with quotation marks, confusion. Confusion. Because they're trying to make it like it's more than one spirit of God. Amen. Now, in this part four tonight, this is I'm going to go into scriptures with you because we come to understand that the Mormons in their teaching that they're more than one spirit of God, they also teach that the Holy Ghost cannot be in more than one place at one time. And therefore, on this belief of theirs, come to say that the Holy Ghost does not dwell in the hearts of believers. Amen. Because to them, he can't be in more than one place at one time. Now, I, in part three, came with to you and show you guys some of what their own websites and stuff say on that, and showing you that, once again, their belief is that because the Holy Ghost cannot be in more than one place at one time, they believe he cannot dwell in the hearts of believers. Now, I want to read one more thing to you of this research, and then we're going to go into scriptures to see what the Word of God has to say on that subject, okay? And this is coming from the book called The Kingdom of the Cults by Brother Walter Martin, the late Walter Martin, who did his research also on Mormonism and their study and their belief about the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that he reported on is how that one of their leaders or whatever name is Talmage, T-A-L-M-A-G-E. Now, I want to read a couple of things that Talmage said that is on the same subject. Now, I'm going to meet you what he says. He says, the term Holy Ghost and its common synonyms, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, or simply Spirit, Comforter, and Spirit of Truth, occur in the scriptures with plainly different meanings, referring in some cases to the person of the God, the Holy Ghost, and in other instances to the power and authority of this great personage or to the agency through which he ministers. There we go. The Holy Ghost undoubtedly possessed personal powers and affections. These attributes exist in him in perfection. Thus he teaches and guides, testifies of the Father and the Son, reproves for sin, speaks, commands, and commissions. These are not figurative expressions, but plain statements of the attributes and characteristics of the Holy Ghost. So that's in their articles of faith by Talmage. Now, Talmage come back and talking about the Holy Ghost. And here's another thing he said. He said, it has been said, therefore, that God is everywhere present. But this does not mean that he that the actual person of any one member of the Godhead can be physically present in more than one place at one time. Admitting the personality of God, we are compelled to accept the fact of his materiality, indeed, an immaterial being under which meaningless names, under which meaningless name some have sought to designate the condition of God, cannot exist. For the very expression is a contradiction in terms. If God possesses a form, that form is of necessity of definite proportions and therefore a limited extension in space. It is impossible for him to occupy at one time more than one space of such limits. Now, glory to God. Now, hallelujah. Talmage, and once again, I read to you where that he said that the it is impossible for the Spirit of God to occupy at one time more than one space of such limits, which goes on with what I was telling you in part three, where that the Mormons teach that the Holy Ghost cannot dwell in the hearts of believers because he cannot occupy at one time more than one space. Okay. Now, as Walter Martin began to comment on this, he said, here exists a contradiction in Mormon theology, if ever there was one. Talmage declares that the Holy Spirit is a personage of spirit, obviously an immaterial being, and obviously God. Okay? That comes from their Book of Doctrine and Covenants. And yet not possessing a form of material nature, hence not limited to extension and space, and therefore rendering it possible for him to occupy at one time more than one space of such limits. So 1 minute, Talmage is saying he can occupy more than one space at one time, and the next minute he's saying that the Spirit of God cannot, okay? He goes on to say, in direct contradiction to Talmage's earlier statements, in the same volume, for the Mormon, a thing without parts has no whole, okay? And an immaterial body cannot exist. And he's quoting from their Articles of Faith, number 48. And yet the Holy Spirit is a personage of spirit, one of the Mormon gods, according to Doctrine and Covenants. That's the book of one of the books of the Mormons, to cap it all. He is an immaterial being possessed of a spiritual form and definite proportions. Mormon theology here appears to have really become confused at the roots, so to speak. But Talmage does not agree with Talmage, nor does the doctrine and covenants. They are forced into the illogical position of affirming the materiality of God in one instance and denying the materiality in the next instance where the Holy Spirit is concerned. So once again, saying in one instance, they're saying that, hey, that the Holy Ghost can be in more than one place at one time, and in another minute, they're saying he can't. God bless you, brother. How you doing?
God bless you. Continue on, brother.
Amen. And so we're looking at tonight, as I get ready to go into scripture, once again, and this part four is dealing with, as I read to you from the Article of Faith and Practice, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And the Mormons teach that there's more than one spirit, okay? They separate the Holy Ghost, and they say the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Christ, they make it like a two different things. Now, based on their belief that, and I read to you what one of their leaders, Talmage, said, 1 minute Talmage is saying that the Holy Ghost can occupy more than one space at one time, and the next minute he's saying he can't. And so based on, and especially what I gave y'all from part three, and for those of you listening, you know, I always encourage you that whenever I'm doing this series, if you come in the middle or the end of it, listen to the part you listened to today and then go back to part one, okay? I always encourage everyone to do that because when you come in the middle or the end of a series, many times you don't quite get overall what the subject, what we're dealing with in the subject. And so I always encourage people to do that. And this is why I always encourage people to come to Sunday school on time. Because when you come late, you know, you come, if it's Sunday school lasts an hour, you come in 30 minutes late or 45 minutes late, and you're trying to run in there. Now you're trying to grab what we don't. Well, see, once it's over, you're not fully getting things. And this is one of the things I see with people when they want to put blame on the pastor sometimes, that he ain't giving them the word because they're not telling you that they're not coming to service on time. But anyhow, that's another subject. Now, what I was saying is this, and this is what we're looking at tonight. The Mormons believe that the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the hearts of believers because they believe that he cannot be in more than one place at one time. Okay? That's what he cannot. That's their teaching. Okay? We're going to go into the scriptures where the word of God shows us that the Spirit of the Lord comes into the hearts of his people. Okay? And see, to the Mormons, they can't be so. The Mormons, as I gave to you in part three on Tuesday, on one of the titles of Mormonism and the Holy Ghost, and the research that was done on that showed that they believe that the Holy Ghost cannot be in more than one place at one time. Therefore, he cannot dwell in the hearts of believers. They believe that he dwells figuratively. They say it's in a figurative sense, and said that his, most of all, he's talking about his influence, okay? His influence, because they call him a personage of spirit, okay? So we're going to look at the scriptures here where the word of God shows, and for those of you that are babes in Christ, and some of you who may not know this, and you starting off in the Lord, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Ghost enter into your heart. Okay? Now, amen. What we're going to start out from in the Bible, and my brother's here, thank God for my brother here, because I would like to for him to also speak on this thing here. We're going to open up with a scripture in the Bible from Romans chapter 2, verse 29. And we're going to open up with this foundation scripture to what the word of God is going to tell us concerning how the Spirit of the Lord comes into the heart of men. And in this Romans chapter 2, verse 29, it's where we're going to open up from. Amen. Glory to God. And the Apostle Paul, writing to, remember, the Christians, because we're trying to, some of us is trying to put everything with Christians and sinners. No, he's talking to believers. If you go to chapter 1 and read, you will see that he's talking to believers. And this is what he says in verse 29, the last verse in chapter 2. He says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, we go here for a reason, and this is a set up foundation scripture that, and some of the scriptures, when it's speaking of the word heart, it means the spirit, okay? When it's speaking of the word heart, it means the spirit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, hallelujah. Based on that, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And we're looking at what the scripture said. Like I said, the Mormons say, hey, no, he doesn't dwell in the heart of believers because he can't be in more than one place at one time. Well, let's see what the word of God has to say about that. We're coming from the Bible first. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And look at what Paul, once again, talking to the believers. Okay, we got to get that straight. This is why he say what he say in the beginning of the books, like 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He'll say to the church, to the saints. He specifically lets you know who he's talking to. Okay, you got to remember, some people think, and the Apostle Paul is used by the Lord, but some people think that Jesus cannot be specific. Well, I don't know where they got that from. Okay, I don't know why they think that Jesus got to take you all around the way all the time. Do you know if he did that, how wore out you would be? You couldn't, you know, you really couldn't build faith in Christ. if he did like that. Because the first thing you'll think about, man, if I ask him something, oh, my goodness, he's going to take me all around the world. Oh, he's got to be solving puzzles. I can't take that. We wouldn't be able to take it. So he is the Lord that can be specific. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, I'm going to start verse 21, read 21, 22. He said, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, in our what? Hearts. Which you can put there what? Spirit. Because we just looked at Romans 2 and 29, okay? So the earnest of his Spirit is in, that I-N, our hearts, our spirit. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, brother, some Christians don't know that. Some Christians don't know that. Some Christians haven't even been taught that. They don't know that the Spirit of the living God is in them. They think that they got to go outside and holler all the way up to the heaven, to the cloud.
Yeah.
When the Spirit of the living God is in you. And you got some believers who are depending on people. In fact, they won't even pray for themselves. They won't even pray because they don't know that in the comfort of your own home, at any time of the night, you can pray to the Father and get an answer by his Spirit in your house.
Mm-hmm.
In your house.
Yeah.
Because why? The Holy Ghost dwells in you. He don't just dwell in the priesthood. Okay? I know some people think that he just in the pastor. He just in an apostle.
Uh-huh.
No. That's not scripture. That's not scripture. Because Apostle Paul right here was talking to what? The church. Okay? And the church is not just made of preachers or elders or apostles or bishops. It's made of apostle, bishop, members, even the ones sitting in the pews. I don't care if you clean the bathroom. If you're born again, you all in the body of Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is who he was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see right here that he what? He's in the hearts of what? Of who?
Yeah.
The believers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plain and simple. He's in the hearts of the believers. Okay. Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Second witness. Same person, Paul, but he's second witnessing. Okay. He's witnessing to the Galatian church. Okay. Which are who? Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christians. And he didn't. Now, if he told the Corinthians that the Holy Ghost dwell in your heart, but he come back and tell the Galatians he don't, then you have what you call pandemonium confusion. And you have every right to say, man, I ain't listening to that. You have every right. But we're following the protocol of God in the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Once again, who's he talking to? Christians, saved folks, those have been saved, born again. He says in verse 6, and because ye are sons, okay? Now, let's understand sons. Sons is not just males. Sons is short for sonship, covering male and female, okay? So he said, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, where? Into your hearts.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
I think God know direction. I'm pretty positive he know direction. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent his Spirit into.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Into our hearts, in our spirit, the Spirit of the living God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is in our spirit. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Somebody out there, I don't think know that, brother. So I thank God. Maybe you got whoever you're listening. Maybe you listen here in America, Canada, South Korea. I don't care where you're at. If you are born again, Jesus Christ, our Lord, sent his spirit, not his spirits with an S. I already shared with you guys that the Mormons is talking about more than one spirit of God. No, because remember, we was made in the image of God. And the Bible tells us that spirit, soul, and body, it doesn't say spirits, So if we got one spirit and we made in his image, that means there's one spirit of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just plain and simple, okay? And so he has sent forth his spirit into our hearts, in our spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where he is. The hallelujah. Glory to
yep.
God. Okay,
yep.
let's look at another one here, and I'm going to give my brother a chance to speak in on. Let's go to John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14.
Yeah,
hallelujah. John chapter 14. Let's look at John chapter 14 because see the word of God, and see I just came from the Bible right now. I ain't even come from the other two books, and it's showing here that what the Mormons say that the Spirit of God cannot dwell in the hearts of man. They are 100% wrong. Okay? They're 100% wrong. See, I'm not omnipresent, but we got to understand that the Lord is. Okay?
Yeah.
The Lord is. See, this is what we trying to confine. It's like we, you know, man try to confine God to being to them. Okay? Instead
mm-hmm.
of understanding that we was made in his image. Okay? We was made in his image. And therefore, we have limitations. Because why? We are a created being. Okay? God is not created. He's not created. We are created beings, which means by us being created, we have limitations. If you look at, for example, look at what man makes, these machines and stuff. Whatever man makes have limitations, right? It can't.
Right.
They make stuff, it don't last forever. It's going to break
mm-hmm.
down. It's going to tear. So therefore, that
mm-hmm.
which is created has a limitation, okay? It
right.
has a limitation, okay? So that's what we got to understand. Now, in John chapter 14, and look at verse 16 and 17. Now, listen to what Jesus said. In John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, understand,
yep.
another comforter ain't meaning another Holy Ghost. Okay? this is the Holy Ghost. See, we got to remember, when Jesus spoke this at this time, he was with the disciples and them in the flesh. Okay? He was with them in the flesh. But now he said, "I'm going to send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know of him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth," there go the word dwell, "with you," and where? "Shall be in you."
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure God knows direction. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he knows grammar, and he
yep.
knows direction.
Okay.
And hallelujah. You know, he knows grammar, and he knows direction. So, therefore, he knows
mm-hmm.
when he says he sent his spirit in you, okay?
Yeah.
In you. Hallelujah. Because
thank you, Lord.
Unless man is filled with the Spirit of God, he is continually what? Evil. Period.
Evil. Yeah.
Period. You know, just like you got these other religions, I think it's, and if I want to pronounce it, Pelagianism, who teaches that there's no sin nature, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, there's no sin nature. Well, then they said, "Well, man is just good." Really?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this is why we got to be careful when we're accepting or tolerating these certain teachings, because what it does, it says that the whole thing Jesus did was in vain. It was for nothing. He just did something. It didn't help when we accept these kind of teachings. Now,
mm-hmm.
Jesus provided so, because we got to understand, before Christ came, the Holy Ghost wasn't dwelling in everybody. He wasn't, and he came on certain ones. But what Jesus
mm-hmm.
did, he opened up the way that the Holy Ghost can come into all who accept him into their heart. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Could you imagine
Amen.
That if he didn't do that? We got to sit around and say, "Hey, I got to find a preacher somewhere. Or what? Do I have to go?" See, this is why some people get it mixed up, brother. They think you got to
mm-hmm.
be in a building in order for God to hear you.
Yep.
I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
And I want to let my
okay.
brother chime in on this. I'm going to say this one more time. See, this is where when people don't understand, when I say people, I'm talking about born-again believers. when they don't understand that the spirit of the living God, the moment, not moments, not years down the road, but the moment you in your heart truthfully accepting this Lord, when they don't understand that the spirit of the Lord came into their heart, this is why some think that you got to be in a building, a certain building,
yeah,
for God to hear,
yeah,
you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can be in Burger King bathroom.
Yeah.
After you order a Mac and some fries, if you got,
mm-hmm,
a sincere heart and talking to the Holy Ghost, he is there with you. Okay. You don't have,
yeah,
to be in a certain building for him to hear you if you are born again. Now, I want to let my brother to come in on this, because we're speaking out tonight and we're looking at the scripture that shows that the Holy Ghost does dwell in the hearts of believers. Go ahead, brother.
Well, it's a great and joyful time in this day, and Thanksgiving, as they celebrate, especially in the Western world, the Christian world in particular, to be thankful and grateful. And started back a long time ago in the Puritans and Pilgrims. Something wonderful took place that caused them to set aside a day to be grateful and thankful, I assume, for all that God has done, the living eternal God. Now, you've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing how much confusion about these different things that have been done because of man's thinking and man's perspective, or Satan in telling otherwise. First of all, when you use these terms, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, we want to say to people that as brother go along, when these terms are used, and out of the translation of the original version, whether it be Greek or Latin or Hebrew, that the Holy Spirit, the term Holy Spirit, is synonymous, meaning the same thing as Holy Ghost. Some people I meet, they think there is a difference when you said the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and we try to tell them, it's all the translation of, was it Greek? They use ghost sometimes to refer to as spirit. King James Version mostly used ghost. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Jesus did a what I would call almost a complete study on the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure as you read John's gospel and the three chapters, 14, 15, 15, Jesus tells the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's very, very revealing, very clear. And but still among different segments of Christianity and other people, there is confusion about the Holy Spirit. The one often referred to as the Holy Ghost. Now, as we know, in the beginning of the creation, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over, during the creation, the Spirit of the Lord was there working, and it says the Spirit moved upon the deep. So from the very beginning of creation, it talks about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in union with the Father and the Son, which are one. The embodiment, Spirit of the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is revealing. Years ago, another group, besides the Mormon and other groups, are in derision and diffusion about the Holy Spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses come to our door, and I would talk to them. And early, when I first got my life in line with Christ as my Redeemer, so they would, when I would mention the person of the Holy Spirit, oh, the Holy Spirit, he's not working no more. He's not doing anything. He doesn't do it. I said, and so the minute I would mention the Holy Spirit, they would get, oh, he doesn't do. He doesn't work anymore. He doesn't talk. He doesn't move anymore. I said, he doesn't. And finally, 20 or 25 years passed. They changed their doctrine. The Holy Spirit went back. Now they, when you mention the Holy Spirit 30 years later, they begin to say, oh, yeah, oh, yes, we accept the Holy Spirit. So they changed their mind after all of those years from 1879 up to the 1950s. They did not accept the person or the revelation of the realness of the Holy Spirit working in person's lives. Now, here's the thing that I love about it, because I know you're going to get to this, what it says in Romans. It talks about a person being transformed and made new or born of the Spirit. Jesus talking about John being born of the water and born of the Holy Spirit. And he said, unless you have born of the water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter or you cannot see the kingdom of God. So automatically that tells you if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, or the Spirit of Christ, you're not going to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem or paradise. So it said, Jesus said, John 3, except the man be born again, anew of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and of water, he cannot enter the kingdom. Now, that gives a clue how important the Holy Spirit has to be in the believer's life. Secondly, I think in Romans 8, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well,
amen.
But wait a minute now. You mean to tell me I'm identified, identified with the family of God of the body of Christ? If any man, Paul says, have not the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. Well, and so it tells you very clearly that when Jesus left, talking to disciples, I know you'll get on that, Book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 people, and it sat upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit identifies you specifically that you are now a new creation in Christ. So
amen.
It's important that people know the significance of it. So I'll just cut off here, but to know the very significant of that.
Amen, brother. And you definitely right about that. And hey, and for those of you listening, I want to come with another witness. This is from another one of the books of the Lord called The Record of Nephi, and coming from the book of Alma, chapter 34. The book of Alma, chapter 34, another one of the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our God mm-hmm. sticks to his protocol, the mouth of two or three mm-hmm. witnesses, okay? And he shows that he witnessed to more than one nation, okay? We know that the Bible come by the way of the Jews, but that's not the only nation he witnessed to of his plan, his statutes, and his judgments. That's why he has more than one witness in the earth. Whenever God is doing something, he always gave the protocol. And you can always go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, chapter 19. You can go to Matthew 18, 2 Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay? So man wasn't the first one to start the witnessing thing. It was the Lord, Jesus Christ. That's who started the mm-hmm. witnessing thing. Okay? So in this Alma chapter 34, verse 36, now listen to what he says. The servant of the Lord here says in his witnessing to the people over here on this continent, yes, over here, yes, the Lord had people over here. Okay. Now he says, and this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but, now listen to this, in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he have also said that the righteous should sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. He dwelleth in the hearts of the righteous.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory.
In the heart. Like I said, I think the Lord knows perfect location. I'm pretty sure he does.
I think he know the difference between in and out, and he's stretching on in. He dwelleth, once again, he don't dwell in unholy temples, okay?
Yeah.
He said, but in the hearts, look at the word hearts, of the righteous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The hearts of the righteous. That's where his spirit dwells, people. That's where he dwells.
Yep.
I know that the Mormons are telling you, well, he can't dwell in heart. Well, they're wrong, okay? And this is why the Articles of Faith and Practice that I've been reading to you said, we believe in the Holy Ghost, okay? Not in the Holy Ghost with an S, or we believe in one of the spirits. It didn't say that. It said in the Holy Ghost, okay?
Yeah.
We believe in the Holy Ghost. Whatever the scriptures tells us about the Spirit of the Living God, we believe. This is why the Articles of Faith and Practice start out with, we believe. It's a stress of unity, a stress of unity in faith between people who's supposed to believe in the same God. So it didn't say, I believe, even though it has to start personally, but it talks about a collective group coming together and believing in faith one in one God. And we believe in one Holy Ghost. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, let me read this one more scripture to you. And this coming from the word of the Lord. Now, this is the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of messages that the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah. Amen. Yes, according to Matthew 17, Malachi 3 and 4, Deuteronomy 18. This is the messenger of the Lord. Now, I want to read to you what he says in what is called the 12th message. Date, July the 18th, 1929. And for those of you who've been listening to me on the broadcast, whenever I read from the messages, I always give you the date. And the reason why I give you the date, because in your own personal prayer time, you can say, Jesus, did you send an angel July the 18th, 1929? Because people, we're not trying to do nothing hideous. It's nothing hideous. Yeah. We got to tell you the message. So I'm giving you as much information. We want you to ask Jesus, okay? Now, you need to be skeptical. If we was a bunch of people coming on here today and said, listen, you ain't got to ask the Lord nothing. You take everything we say, and it's right. You go right ahead. Don't ask him nothing. Then you have every right to, as fast as you can, to take your finger and hit that button and click us off, okay? You have every right. But here we're pointing you to Christ. Now, listen what he says here. He says, and this is verse 2 in the message, 12th message. He said, the Lord has looked upon you and your brethren, has seen the humility of your souls, and your desire to carry out the instruction that the Lord has given you from time to time. And thus far, your work has been accepted of the Lord. But remember, you must remain very humble before God and do the things he has and will command you to do, or the spirit and light that the Lord has given you will be withheld from you, and your minds will become dark, and doubt and fear will enter your souls. Therefore, seek the Lord often in prayer and in the humility of your souls. The work that the Lord has commanded you to do will come before you. Contend with no man, only contend for the truth will make you free. Contentions will darken the mind. Now listen to this. And the Spirit of God will not dwell in the hearts of men who are contentious. Now, if he doesn't dwell in someone, he would not make that statement because he was specific on who he would not dwell in. Okay.
Yeah.
So if he's specific in who he's not going to dwell in, then at the same time, he would be specific in who he will dwell in. So either way it shows, he dwells in the hearts of men, but he said, I will not dwell in the hearts of men who are contentious. So he lets you know he dwells in the hearts of men, but he would not dwell in the hearts of those who are contentious. Okay. Once again, Spirit of the Living God, the Lord knows direction. Overall, this is what we're saying to you. The Spirit of the Living God does dwell in the hearts of the believers. Okay? He dwells in the heart of believers. Amen. And all this that the Mormons tell you about, hey, he can't occupy more than one place at one time, and that's why he cannot dwell in the heart of believer, they are 100% dead wrong. Okay?
Amen.
Dead wrong. Hallelujah. Dead wrong. 100%.
Amen.
dead wrong, okay? And you need to know this as a people. And as I said to you before, Mormons are one of the ones, not the only ones, but they are the one of the ones that I have seen that you have to really investigate what they tell you. Because, for example, you can go up to a Mormon and say, hey, I believe in God. They're going to tell you the same thing. I believe in God. Mm-hmm. And if you say, go deeper and say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. They're going to tell you, I believe in Jesus Christ. But when you investigate the Jesus Christ they're talking about, you will find out it is not the same Jesus of the Bible, the Word of the Lord, and the Record of Nephi. Okay? They have their own Jesus. Okay? Right. Their own Jesus, their own God. In fact, they said that the Father had to earn to achieve his Godhood, and so did Jesus. Okay? So they was like us, and they were flesh, and they had to earn to achieve their Godhood. Okay?
Wow. Goodness.
So if you went by face value of what they tell you, you will go around and tell people, say, hey, you know, they believe in Jesus. They believe in the Lord God, you know. And you and somebody asks, well, how you know? Well, they told me. But you had not done no investigation to see, do they believe in the Jesus of the Bible, the Word of the Lord, and the Record of Nephi? And you'll come to find out it's a different Jesus. It's not the same Jesus.
Yes, it
okay?
is. Yes.
Very different Jesus.
Same with the Roman
In fact,
same.
The Jesus that they believe in, and I want you guys to hear this, and I'm not trying to be funny, but the Jesus they believe in takes a second seat to Joseph Smith. Now, some of you may not understand why I said that. If you were to listen to their missionaries witness to you, they would talk more about Joseph Smith than they do Jesus Christ.
Yep, he's exalted.
They would exalt Joseph Smith. You'll get Jesus might get a, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 shout outs in their conversation. But Joseph Smith's gonna get dumb.
Maybe.
They're gonna get Joseph Smith gonna get dumb.
Yeah. Hey, do you know the Roman Catholics do the same thing? They exalt Mary above baby Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Same
and see, some people are not able to, and once again, this is not a down to anyone, but some people are not able to discern that right off. They just, they hear them say Jesus one time, and they think, oh, okay, they believe in Jesus. And they overlook the other 10 to 12 times they talk about Mary or talk about Joseph Smith, okay? And so they don't put the two together to even say, hey, why they talk more about these other people than Jesus Christ if they say they believe in Jesus? You know?
Wow. What confusion.
Big time.
What deception.
And we have to know this, people. We have to know this. You know, we can't do, and brother, I'm going to let you comment in again to this, what we're talking about, but I want to say this. We cannot, the world's version of love and peace means to accept and tolerate. Okay? That's the version of, in other words, the world said, I know you don't agree with them, but just accept and tolerate. That's the world version, and that thing has crept among the Christian community because the Christian community has taken on the same way to say, well, I don't agree with their teaching, but, you know, in the sake of love and peace, I just accept and tolerate
them. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the people come over here worshiping a goat, you know, they'll say, well, I don't believe in worshiping goats, but, you know, we got to live all together in harmony. And so I just want to say this. Do you think that there are people in heaven worshiping idols and things and they got their own section? No. That ain't happening.
Wow.
There's nobody in heaven worshiping goats and people, animals, and end up in heaven. With the Lord, it's 24 hours or there is no time. But it is constantly worshiping of him. He is not sharing the worship with no people, okay? He's not sharing. The last person thought that they was going to get that share, and over, he got kicked out. His name was Lucifer, okay? He got kicked out. The last one that thought that, hallelujah, he got kicked out. So, brother, I want to give you an opportunity to speak on that once again before we get ready to close.
Well, thank God they're doing a great job and helping to open the eyes and causing people to search the scriptures humbly and diligently and to make sure they're on the foundation that Christ taught. And going through the articles of faith that the Church of Christ with Elijah Message and basic the foundation is taught in the scriptures. There's so much confusion about many things. And many people think we're on this earth to make a name for ourselves, to try to put somebody down and make fun of somebody, delight in their ignorance or their blindness. Well, we once were in blindness and darkness ourselves. We was cut off from the presence. We were in sin by the sin nation. And I want to say this. When we seek to open the eyes of people who are in darkness or error and blindness, many people will get offended because the general population says, well, we all serving the same God. Don't matter, really make no difference whether he's a goat or a sheep or an idol or a camel. It don't make any difference, bro. Just, we all God's children. And I hear this constantly. But that's not in any way taught by Jesus or the apostles. They didn't teach us things. We all God's children. We all were serving the same God, bro. So it don't make no difference. You don't have to down them people. Let them continue in darkness. Let them go down to the path of destruction and false doctrine. Let them go. Don't upset nobody. Don't offend nobody. They're going the wrong path. Don't say anything. You might hurt their feelings. Let them keep going down the error. Jesus made many enemies when he was on the earth. Most of them was from the religious community. So what we're doing here, a lot of people who are in the Christians and other religions will be upset. Just live and let live, brother. I mean, we all got our opinion. We all got our thoughts. Yeah, we do. But does the thoughts lead to eternal life in God? Is it going to lead to eternal place with God in the heavens? So the knowledge and revelation of what the scriptures taught in the New Testament is very key to knowing about the Holy Spirit and the person of the Lord Jesus. So the Roman Catholics, and many of them are good, wonderful people, loving, caring people, along with the Mormons who are the greatest prominent groups of so-called Christians, and we're examining, are they really Christian? Are they based on the foundation, the teaching? Are they teaching the will of the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who sent his son, Jesus? Are they on that path? Are they a form looking like a form? And so when we teach this, for you to go and search the scriptures, not just believers, search humbly through the scriptures. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, then inquire of the Holy Spirit and let the scriptures connect you truthfully to rightly divide the truth. And as we close, the Roman Catholic, the largest called Christian say in the world, says as you enter the doors, you got a big statue of Mary. They exalt Mary. In the time of you leaving or dying, pray to Mary. You see how off-center they are? And Holy Mother and the Jehovah Witness, years ago I mentioned the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, the Holy Spirit, who is he? What? He doesn't work today. He doesn't do this. They don't even know the Holy Spirit. Didn't know, didn't exalt the Holy Spirit. And actually, they didn't want you to mention Jesus too much either. So we see The major groups got to be examined in the light of the scriptures and what the apostles taught and Jesus taught. And we need to get a clear understanding, because there's many spirits in the world, many deception. Jesus said many false and deceiving spirits. So we want to make sure that you're on the found foundation with Christ laid. And we hope if you listen continually, it may cause you to search and see and make sure.
Amen, brother. And you're definitely right on that. And that's what we're trying to do, people. We're trying to give you the word of God. Once again, let you search for yourself. But there is, like my brother said, big time deception. And there are many that don't know any better, and they don't know how to go by finding out the truth. And this is what we're doing. It's pointing you the way to it. Amen. So we are very grateful for the broadcast tonight. Part 5.
Amen.
Section of the series is going to be Sunday. Tomorrow I will come back with, I think it's going to be part 2 of what is Pelagianism. And Lord say the same Saturday, I will be coming back with, I think it's a part 2 to the evil of martial arts, the belt system. And so look for those two there. So let us close with prayer. Father, we thank you in
thank
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus for this day that you have blessed us. And Lord, grace us with the presence of your spirit. Dear Lord, we thank you for everyone that has been tuned in far and near. Dear Lord, they have been seeking your face. We're grateful that you are the true and living God, that those who seek for truth, you reveal yourself.
Yes.
So, Lord, this day, as we have done this broadcast, and Lord God has distributed and given your word, dear Lord, we pray that every soul that was listening that desire to know truth, Lord God, will find it. Lord God, that you will reveal unto them that they be not deceived. In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father, we praise you, Lord God, and we lift you
thank
up.
You.
And we thank you for your spirit that you have
thank
given
you,
to every believer that has
Hallelujah.
Accepted you in the name of
Lord.
Jesus to lead and guide us into all truth and righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So, Father, we glorify you, we magnify you, and we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Part 5, for those of you who are listening, part 5, we're going to be dealing with what they call the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that will be on Sundays. So once again, for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. We love y'all. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
Amen. God bless.